Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes that I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord, your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today.
We've been looking at Paul's letter to the Philippians, taking excerpts out of one chapter each week. So we are on chapter 3 right now, and these are the verses that I will share from Paul's letter to the Christian church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. I want you to know Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings, by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have laid hold of it, but one thing I have laid hold of, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal, toward the heavenly prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about any thing, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Great God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Remembering. It's a vital aspect of the Christian life. You know, remembering is one of the primary reasons we gather for worship. Wherever it may be, whether it be here or in some other place where you gather with the body of Christ. Because here we recall in this place what God has done for us that we could not do for ourselves. Here we remember the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work among us. And it may be that in worship, that spirit may not seem as vibrant as you would like it to be, but here at least you can recall those times when that spirit was alive. And that's something to give thanks for. Remembering was a vital aspect of the Hebrew people when they gathered for worship in their synagogues. And they would listen to the reading of the Torah, that is the Old Testament laws, but more than this, they would listen to the stories of how God liberated them as a people from slavery in Egypt. And they would stand in this worship and say, oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Here they gathered and recalled the God who brought them out of the house of bondage and set them free into the promised land. When it came time for the people of Israel to enter the promised land and to cross over the Jordan after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God reminded them that it was because of Him that they arrived at that place. And He says in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord your God, He's bringing you into this good land that with the flowing streams and springs of water welling in valleys and hills, and a land abundant with fruit and with vegetation. All that you need will be there in this land. You will lack nothing. And then He says this: take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep His commandments, His ordinances, and His statutes. Do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness. Remember the Lord your God. For the people of Israel, remembering was, you know, not just a matter of nostalgia, like looking at an old picture album showing relatives from many years ago. It was what defined them as a people. You know, I also think of one of the central acts that we do when we gather in worship is the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And each time that we gather at the Lord's table, we recall the words of our Savior who broke the bread and said, "This bread represents my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this cup represents my blood shed for your forgiveness." Jesus is here saying, "This is the price of forgiveness, and I'm offering it freely to you. Don't forget it." Remembering also helps us appreciate our brothers and sisters of faith who have helped shape us and our faith, instruments of God and His grace, who were there for us at critical moments. And this is what we hear the Apostle Paul doing in those opening verses of Philippians when he says to them, "I thank my God in my remembrance of you." Remembrance of what they were able to do to support Him. And yet, based on what we hear in this chapter in Philippians, it appears that much of the Christian life also involves forgetting. You may recall Paul was writing this letter to the Christians in Philippi. He was writing it from prison himself, and he was sharing these words with them to motivate them to keep living the Christian life, even as they were being persecuted as he was. "Live your life in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ," he says to them. "Live a life that demonstrates the person of Christ even in the midst of what you're struggling with." He speaks about the unshakable hope because of the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, we are able to have new life and eternal life. And that's when he shares these words: "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." And so for Paul, this was personal, because he had his share of bad memories. And many of those bad memories were about himself. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Before his encounter with the risen Jesus, it was Paul who was dragging Christians off to jail to suppress the church. And we are told in Acts chapter 9 that the risen Lord appeared to him and said, "Paul, why do you persecute me?" And that began for him a complete turnaround in his life, no longer one who persecuted the church, but the one who was the greatest advocate for Jesus. And yet Paul was crushed with grief over what he had done. In one of his letters, he refers to himself as the chief of sinners, "because I persecuted the church of Jesus. But through the grace of Jesus, Jesus was saying to him, Paul, you can forget. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. The message of Paul was, if Christ is able to forgive me for what I have done, he can forgive you. This love and this forgiveness really is not anything new in Christ. Actually, it's the same love that we see at work with God in his interactions with his people. The prophet Jeremiah speaks about the joyful return of the Israelite people to their homeland after they were in exile for several generations. And he begins to talk about what that future is going to be. Once you return to the homeland, he says, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And it won't be like the one of old that I made with your ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of Egypt. I will be their God. They will be my people. They will know me from the least of them to the greatest. And then he says this, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. By his grace, not only does our Lord forgive our sins, he erases them from his memory. But we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe this? Because we all have those dark moment events in our lives, and they've left their mark on us. Things we have done or left undone, people we have hurt, hostility that we might have with another person. That's why a regular part of our worship is when we acknowledge that our lives do not measure up to what God wants them to be. But you have to wonder, you know, are we the ones who allow those dark events in our lives to keep working their power over us? A friend of mine related an experience he had when he was a guest preacher at another church. And after the worship service, a woman approached him and said, can I talk with you in private? And so after he greeted everybody, they went off and so that they could talk alone. And she began to tell him about an inappropriate relationship that she had been in. And he could tell by the way she was talking that this was something that took place a long time ago. And he says, well, have you talked to anyone else about this? And she said, oh, I've talked to everybody about it. Talked to my friends and my family. I've even talked to my husband about it, members here at the church. Well, that's somebody who's not forgetting their sins. That's somebody wallowing in them. It was as though she wore this scarlet letter, A, on her clothing, as if to say, this is who I am. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive. And we must not keep remembering what God himself has promised to forget. Well, something else to consider is that just as Christ allows us to forget the bad baggage of life, it's also appropriate for us to know how to set aside the good as well. Yes, it's always appropriate for us to reflect and be grateful about the experiences which have been good in our lives, but there are times when we get so enmeshed in our memories that we are unable to move forward. Sometimes memories become like monuments, permanently fixed in one place. And so we keep finding ourselves reaching back to regain something from the past. And honestly, I'm sympathetic to folks who tell me about, you know, how they missed the life that they experienced while they were growing up, however many decades ago that may have been, and how they represented a time of stability and happiness. And I know as a pastor, many times I have listened to longtime church members who told me about the way the church used to be a long time ago. And they're voicing a sincere longing for things to be that way again. Because the way things were represented an experience that was meaningful. But however meaningful these memories may be, we can't live there Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, we press toward the goal. And notice the hardness of those words. I strain forward. I press forward. The Greek word that Paul uses here is likened to that of a runner in full sprint toward the finish line. Heart racing, legs churning, lungs burning. That's who Paul was. And he wanted his followers to do the same. Straining forward. Pressing toward. An Olympic sprinter once said that the key to winning races is to forget about all the previous victories. And so when a sprinter lines up at the starting block waiting for the gun to sound, he isn't thinking about the race that he won 3 weeks ago. Rather, his eyes are set forward, his energies and his concentration are about the race happening at that moment. What race is happening at this moment for you that you must run? I don't know how many of you remember the name Chuck Knoll. Do you? Okay. Maybe you don't want to. Well, he said after the Steelers won their first Super Bowl, he said, "There is nothing that becomes an antique faster than a Super Bowl trophy. However it is good it is to celebrate winning, our focus must be on moving forward." Paul seems to be saying something similar. And by the way, the Steelers went on to win in 1975, 1978, 1979, 2005, and 2008. But you all knew that. You all knew that. Okay. I'll move on. Okay. So in the military, leaders, as they're trying to size up a soldier, they'll ask this question, does that soldier lean forward? And the image here is one of a soldier in a foxhole. And when he is in this foxhole, the good soldier has his eyes forward. He's leaning forward, eager, anticipating. He's not hunkered down. He's not looking back. He's looking forward. Something else this means is that we can never be fully satisfied with our faith. We can never get to that point where you say, "Thank God I have arrived. I don't have to do anything more." That was not the way of Jesus. Regardless of who that person was, whether it was somebody religious or not religious, whether it was somebody at the top of the social ladder or somebody at the bottom, there's always room to grow. There's always room to be pressing forward. So none of us is a complete Christian. We are forever pressing on. So whatever it is that's keeping you from striving forward to fulfill the call of God, whether it be a bad memory or a good one, the word of our Lord is forget. Never forget the importance of remembering, and remember when it's right to forget. Amen. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think, to him be the power and the glory now and forever. Amen.